from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says permit simplification is a key to increase investment. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi is to inspect Usman Harun warship in Lebanon. Indonesian President Joko Widodo again reminded the important role of regional governments in increasing economic growth. One of them is by simplifying the permit process to encourage investment and export activities. As usually reported by the public, the problems are related to the long-time process of permit, a number of rules, recommendations, and a number of requirements. The president urged for the regional governments to immediately simplify those hampering problems. This was said by President Joko Widodo to the journalist after giving a speech in a briefing to the participants of the National Working Meeting of Association of Provincial Government of Indonesia, APPSI, in Bandung West Java on Thursday. On several occasions, President Joko Widodo always reminded two things that can improve economic growth, namely increased investment and export value. Similarly, when speaking before the governors from all over Indonesia, who are members of the Association of Provincial Government of Indonesia, APPSI, President Joko Widodo underlined that simplification of permit is what will accelerate the business world to move, expand, and invest. Indonesia is one of the countries involved in the Maritime Task Force of the United Nations UN Peace Mission, United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, UNIFIL. In addition, Indonesia also becomes one of the countries that donates one warship, namely KRI Usman Harun, to be placed in port of Beirut, Lebanon. Therefore, during her visit to Lebanon on February 24th, Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, is scheduled to conduct an inspection and dialogue with 110 troops at KRI Usman Harun warship. This was stated by Director of International Security and Disarmament of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Grata Endah Werdaningtyas, in her press conference at Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday, February 22nd.
Dan Ibu juga akan melakukan inspeksi terhadap kelengkapan yang ada di
The minister will also make an inspection to check the completeness of our ship. As a note, there are 15 countries joining in the Maritime Task Force, but only 5 countries, including Indonesia, donate the ship. The other 4 countries are Bangladesh, Brazil, Germany, and Turkey. The minister will also hold a dialogue with our personnel on board, and we will have lunch on the ship. Grata added that Minister Retno Marsudi, during her visit to Lebanon, will also visit Garuda Satgas Indobat 23L Task Force, located at UNP 71 Adishits Al-Qushair Battalion Headquarters in South Lebanon. In addition, she will also hold a bilateral meeting with Foreign Minister of Lebanon. The Indonesian troops in Indobat man contingent, consisting of 850-member mechanized battalion, and 330 troops scattered in the headquarters under the commander of United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, UNIFIL. In addition to the mechanical battalion, there are also the medical battalion and the Civil Military Cooperation Battalion, CIMIC. CIMIC is part of the added value for conducting activities that are social approach to the people around Indobat area, such as health education and cultural and social exchange. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita held a meeting with e-commerce entrepreneurs in Indonesia on Thursday, February 22, 2018. After the meeting, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita explained to the media that the meeting was in efforts of both parties to encourage economic growth and domestic industry for small and medium enterprises, SMEs. He views that some of these e-commerce entrepreneurs have provided coaching and education to SMEs sporadically. He expects that small and medium enterprises products can be increased by sales through marketplaces. There are several steps that will be done to create a database for accredited small and medium enterprises and create a special platform for small and medium enterprises.
Some of the heritages, however, are precarious and they may be endangered by rapid urbanization, illicit trafficking, or human-induced or natural disaster. Should this happen, digital archives may possibly be the only remnants that will survive the hard and uncompromising test of time and progress. In sum, digitizing cultural heritage is a forward-looking endeavor, ensuring the record will last for generations to come.
Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita further explained some of the small and medium enterprises entrepreneurs are not ready for technological progress. Thus, the Ministry of Trade will cooperate with the Ministry of Communications and Information Technology to help small and medium enterprises entrepreneurs in internet access and marketplaces. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita added that there will be a big launch of the platform and promotion for small and medium enterprises products. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi will make a visit to Lebanon on February 24th. The visit is specifically conducted to meet Indonesian troops serving as the Garuda contingent that involve in the UN Peacekeeping Force, United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon UNIFIL. This was stated by Director of International Security and Disarmament of Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Grata Endah Werdaningtyas, in her press conference at Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Thursday, February 22nd.
Ibu Menteri direncanakan akan berangkat pada tanggal 24.
The minister is scheduled to depart on February 24th. Inshallah, she will arrive on February 25th in Lebanon in the morning. The minister's visit will focus on visiting UNIFIL in two areas, considering our troop distribution is in two areas. There are an infantry battalion working at Indobat in the area named Adit Al-Kushair and a location under the Maritime Task Force in Port of Beirut. Grata added that the minister's visit to Lebanon is an example of appreciation to Indonesian troops who join in UNIFIL. During her visit, Minister Retno Marsudi will hold a series of discussion and dialogue with Indonesian military personnel to further explore the challenges and obstacles faced by the Garuda contingent. Grata also believes the visit of Foreign Minister Retno to UNIFIL has its own value for Indonesia. First, this visit shows Indonesia's commitment and support to the peace efforts in Lebanon. In addition, this visit will have a positive impact on Indonesia as part of its nomination as a permanent member of the UN Security Council in 2019-2020 period. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Ambassador to the People's Republic of China, Jauhari Oratmangun, who was inaugurated on Tuesday, February 20th, said that the increase of Chinese tourists to Indonesia has become one of his main priorities. Ambassador Jauhari said that he has a special strategy to achieve this, which is called 5S strategy. This was disclosed at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Thursday, February 22nd.
Satu sun. Sana kan matahari susah. Kita punya matahari.
One is the sun, because the sun rarely shines there and we have the sun. Second is the sea. The sea is very far away there. Third is sand or beach. Fourth, Indonesian people always smile. They are happy to meet people who always smile. Fifth is service. So 5S in spite of the beauty of nature and culture. Ambassador Jauhari Oratmangun added that he had used similar strategy in Russia when he serves as Indonesian ambassador to Russia. So far, tourist arrivals from China to Indonesia has reached about 2 million people, By 2017 and by 2018, that number is targeted to increase 20%. He also observed that the destinations for tourists from China are usually Jakarta, Bali, and Manado in North Sulawesi. He added that currently, direct flights from China to Medan or Sumatra and Padang, West Sumatra, are being designed. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi is scheduled to perform and enliven the biggest jazz music festival in Asia, Java Jazz Festival 2018. On the occasion, she will collaborate with the Diplomats Band, which is composed of Indonesian diplomats in Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Spokesman of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Nasir, said in Jakarta on Thursday, February 22nd, that Minister Retno and the Diplomats Band are scheduled to perform on the third day of Java Jazz Festival 2018 on March the 4th at the Jakarta International Expo, GI Expo. She plans to be involved in the performance. Armanata added that Minister Retno Marsudi sometimes participates in the regular exercise of the Diplomats Band. In addition, she also performed with the diplomats at several events. When asked what songs to be presented by Minister Retno Marsudi and the diplomats, Armanata keeps it a secret. But he just mentioned not just from the genre of jazz, the band, the diplomats sing songs from various genres of music. And the last item, the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs reported that there are several investors from the Sovereign Wealth Fund Institution, SWFI, that are interested in investing in Indonesia's maritime sector. The interest of these investors came after listening to Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan as speaker at the Sovereign Wealth Fund Institute Annual Conference 2018 in Santa Monica, USA, last Wednesday. Deputy of Maritime Sovereignty Section Aris Hafaz Ogroseno in a press release in Jakarta on Thursday said that there are some investors who want to invest in the infrastructure, waste management, aquaculture, port, and train. Arif Hafaz, who has been inaugurated as Indonesian ambassador to Germany, accompanied Minister Luhut Panjaitan at the annual meeting. At the time of the exposure, there were about 40 global investors from various countries who listened to Luhut's exposure to Indonesian marine and the potential investment in infrastructure, maritime, and sustainable development. To follow up the interest of these investors, Hafaz said that he would soon hold a meeting with relevant stakeholders. Through the meeting, Hafaz hopes that there will be realization of investment in accordance with the needs of the country. And listener to Andy News, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says that permit simplification is the key to increase investment. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi is to inspect Usman Harun warship in Lebanon. And listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Shooting Spree in U.S. Schools. A shooting spree by a majority stuntman Douglas High School student to his friends happened in Parkland, Florida, right on Valentine's Day, February 14, 2018. It wasn't the first incident that happened in the United States. The latest perpetrator was a teenager who fired his gun and caused 17 school students lost their lives in vain. Indeed, the laws governing arms ownership in the United States differ from state to state. Florida is one of the states that loosely imposes it. Students who are concerned about this latest incident held several rallies to encourage the United States government to regulate stricter ownership of weapons. Representatives of students and parents even met President Donald Trump directly, asking him to conduct stricter supervision. Instead of getting support, they have to hear Trump's idea of arming teachers with guns. Parents object to this idea because they think it makes the school a shooting arena in case of an attack. Although they disagree with President Donald Trump, however, some schools suspended students who held anti-weapons rallies. To commemorate this event, a rally will be held on March 14, 2018, exactly 1 month after Florida shooting, and April 20, 2018, to commemorate a similar incident at Clone Bend High School in Colorado. The series of shootings that occur in school in the United States is very alarming. Educational institutions should be a source of positive learning place for students. School is not an arena of indulging violence, whether it is physical, verbal, or emotional. There is an English saying which puts importance on the man behind the gun. It means that it is the person behind the tool or device, especially in a job, that's important. In the case of shooting in America, this saying can be taken literally. A good person holding weapon may be doing good. Otherwise, if a bad one is behind the gun, terrible things can happen. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, over a rural service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we begin an event which occurred February 23rd, 1903, when Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan, the founding father of Muhammadiyah, passed away. Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan was born on August 1, 1868. He was an Indonesian Islamic revivalist who established Muhammadiyah in 1912. Ahmad Dahlan was born in the Muslim quarter of Yogyakarta behind Yogyakarta Sultan Great Mosque. His father was the Imam of the Mosque, and Dahlan learned the language from his father. He was the 12th generation descendant of Maulana Malik Ibrahim. Dahlan was sent to an Islamic boarding school or pesantren. As one of his pride obligations as a Muslim, he went on a pilgrimage to Mecca, where he studied with Ahmad Khatib, the renowned religious teacher. It was during his pilgrimage Dahlan changed his name from Muhammad Darwish to Ahmad Dahlan. After turning to Java around 1888, he married the daughter of head of the Great Mosque in Yogyakarta. As one of the growing groups who regarded themselves as modernists, he was concerned at the many Japanese practices not justified by Islamic scripture and a tool for the creation of renewed, purer Islam, more step in the modern world. He created Muhammadiyah in 1912 as an educational organization as a means of realizing his reformist ideals. Today, Muhammadiyah is the second largest Muslim organization in Indonesia after Nahdlatul Ulama and NU. At the age of 54 years, exactly on February 23, 1923, Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan passed away in Yogyakarta. He was then buried in the village of Karangganjen, an area named Warga Kensan in Yogyakarta. For the service of Kyai Haji Ahmad Dahlan, then the country conferred him the honorary title of National Hero. The honorary title was outlined in the Presidential Decree number 657, 1961, on December 27, 1961. The next event, which occurred on February 23, 1970, Guyana changed its government into republic. On 23 February 1970, Guyana's government system changed from system of governor general to republic. Guyana is one of Central American countries. In the 17th century, Guyana became a common colony between Netherlands and England. However, from 1815, Britain came to the power of Guyana. In 1966, Guyana gained its independence and became a member of British Commonwealth. Well, listener, we end the segment on event which occurred February 23, 1976, when the ASEAN Summit Conference was firstly held. The ASEAN Summit is an annual summit conference among ASEAN member leaders. The first ASEAN Summit Conference was held in Indonesia, precisely in Bali, on February 23 to 24, 1976. For the best ASEAN Summit separate declaration have been produced, such as ASEAN Harmony Declaration, the Paris Treaty of Cooperation in Southeast Asia, and the Agreement on the Establishment of ASEAN Secretariat. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll present a topic about biopharma explore cooperation with the various countries. State-owned enterprises, PT Biopharma, continues to expand its business to foreign countries. President Director of PT Biopharma, Rahman Rustan, said that the company will develop a cooperation scheme with UNICEF and also regional cooperation. Rahman Rustan, after holding a meeting with finance and industry economic team, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who brought 6 ambassadors, visited PT Biopharma in Bandung Monday, explained that PT Biopharma will continue to coordinate with the Indonesian embassies in the respective countries. Rahman also said the assessment will be conducted with the Indonesian embassy in Iran, because there are a lot of potential can be cooperated between Indonesia and Iran. Rahman Rustan moreover said Biopharma needs technology transfer from Iran for production. The development of medicines in Indonesia should continue to be done. Rahman further explained, although taking assistance from the Indonesian ambassadors in some countries, Biopharma remains badly need advice, discussion, and support from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, as well as the Indonesian ambassadors in achieving other potentials. In addition to supply vaccines, Biopharma also want to explore the potential for cooperation of research or production which can be synergized with friendly countries. Rahman further said if the company had previously cooperated through the UNICEF, he hoped the meeting with the team of economy, finance and industry, Ministry of Foreign Affairs can facilitate access for bilateral cooperation with the existing assistances from the Indonesian ambassadors. Biopharma has 3 partners in Iran, while in Latin America, the company has partners in Argentina, Brazil and Cuba. Moreover, there are already cooperations with Brazil, Argentina, and Mexico for the shipping of semi-finished vaccines. During this time, the cooperation with the developing countries was conducted through the UNICEF. But now, there has been opened bilateral cooperation with Iran for Middle East region and Mexico for Latin America region. Rahman said that the most potential to be explored is herbal products. Considering the potential of biodiversity for herbal products in Indonesia is quite large. Currently, the company is focusing on biotechnology products, so that for the cooperation of herbal products, PT Bio Farma wants to invite three other state-owned enterprises, namely Indopharma, Kimia Pharma, and Pabros. Meanwhile, the Indonesian ambassador to Iran and Turkmenistan representing the Middle East region, Octavino Alimuddin, said the embassy can receive information directly about the efforts that have been done by Bio Farma. Octavino also remarked that the position of Indonesia as a producer of vaccine and serum is highly recognized by the world. PT Bio Farma received the visit of four ambassadors at Bio Farma Heritage Building. The four ambassadors are the Indonesian ambassador to Iran and Turkmenistan Octavino Alimuddin, representing the Middle East region. Indonesian ambassador to Romania, representing Europe, Amhar Azad. Indonesian ambassador to Cambodia, representing Southeast Asian region, Sudirman Haseng. And Indonesian ambassador to Peru, representing regional Latin America, Estela Anwar Bey. That was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo again reminded the important role of regional governments in increasing economic growth. One of them is by simplifying the permit process to encourage investment and export activities. Indonesia is one of the countries involved in the Maritime Task Force of the United Nations UN Peace Mission, United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon UNIFIL. In addition, Indonesia also becomes one of the countries that donates one warship, namely KRI Usman Harun, to be placed in Port of Beirut, Lebanon. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggartias Tolukita held a meeting with e-commerce entrepreneurs in Indonesia on Thursday. After the meeting, Minister Enggartias explained to the media that the meeting was in efforts of both parties to encourage economic growth and domestic industry for small and medium enterprises, SMEs. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi will make a visit to Lebanon on February 24th. The visit is specifically conducted to meet Indonesian troops serving as the Garuda contingent that involved in the UN Peacekeeping Force, United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon UNIFIL. Indonesian Ambassador to the People's Republic of China, Jauhari Oratmangun, who was inaugurated on Tuesday, February 20th, said that the increase of Chinese tourists to Indonesia has become one of his main priorities. Ambassador Jauhari said that he has a special strategy to achieve this, which is called 5S strategy. In commemorating 45 years of ASEAN-Japan friendship and cooperation, the Embassy of Japan in Indonesia, in cooperation with the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia, held a seminar on Cultural Heritage Digital Archive at the ASEAN Secretariat in Jakarta on Thursday, February 22nd. This seminar was hosted by Professor Ari Ide from Kyoto University and opened by Deputy Secretary General of ASEAN for the Affairs of Society and Company, Dr. A.K.P. Mohtan. And the last item, the Ministry of Tourism considers that Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, NTB, is ready to receive the tour package from the IMF World Bank Annual Meeting Delegates to be held in Bali in October 2018. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to a culinary tour to Magelang Regency, Central Java Province. So stay tuned. Listeners, crackers or krupuk is a snack which generally made from tapioca flour, though mixed with flavorings such as shrimp or fish. The crackers are made by steaming dough until cooked, then thinned, sliced, dried in the sunrise and fried with cooking oil. The texture is crispy and usually used as a complement of various foods in Indonesia. Not only fried, it can also be processed into a delicious meal called kapjai krupuk. Listeners, kapjai krupuk is a typical food of Magelang people, Central Java. The main ingredients of kapjai krupuk is made from wheat flour. To make kapjai krupuk, it is usually used onion crackers, shrimp crackers, and others. To make the food is not complicated, the raw crackers is firstly soaked in boiled water overnight. Then the crackers were washed and then drained. Some spices such as garlic, hazelnut pepper, and chili are smoothed first. Then the spices mixture is salted with soy sauce, cabbage, and onions, including raw crackers. Currently, people making the kapjai krupuk by adding more other ingredients such as chicken meat, meatballs, sausages, and carrot. Listeners, kapjai is very delicious taste. The culinary is better to eat in warm, which can be eaten in a single menu or for side dishes. Usually, the Magelang people enjoy kapjai krupuk with warm rice porridge. For those who are interested to enjoy kapjai krupuk, you can visit Magelang, especially Kradenan Hamlet, Ambar Tawang Village. You can find many sellers of kapjai krupuk. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic kapjai krupuk from Magelang. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Saturday World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with regular program Miscellany, a special segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and culture, environment and technology, and even lifestyle. Today's edition is about Kampung Adat Pulau Garut, village with 7 buildings. Stay tuned. Listener, Indonesia has not only have Samosir Island located in the middle of Lake Toba, North Sumatra Province, but also the popular settlement in the middle of the lake are Lake Changkuang, precisely in Garut Regency, West Java Province. The settlement is called Kampung Adat Pulau. Kampung Adat Pulau is very unique. The number of buildings reaching 7 in this area is maintained. 6 buildings are residential area that depicts girls, while another one describes a boy that is used as musola or small mosque. The 7 buildings are symbols of the numbers of children of the founder of Kampung Adat Pulau, Mbah Dalem Arif Muhammad. The children are 6 daughters and 1 boy. Mbah Dalem Arif Muhammad himself is the first Muslim spreader in the region. All the buildings in this Kampung Adat Pulau have an elongated roof, but the customary chairman's house looks different from the others because the roof uses roof coverings from black fibers or palm trees. In addition to the number of buildings, people in this village also should not add the head of the family of 6 heads of families. Every house must be inhabited by 1 family. A lot of customs have been preserved up to now. Take for example, the inheritance rights is possible for women instead of men. The custom has been created due to the death of Mbah Arif's son when he was circumcised. Until now, the people of Kampung Adat Pulau in Garut, West Java, do not raise warlike animals such as cows, horses, goats, and so forth. Because most people work and make money from farming and gardening, so they fear that these animals can damage the residents' rice fields and farming. Listener, although not allowed to maintain these animals, the people of Kampung Adat Pulau is not prohibited from eating meat from these animals. Another unique thing, people are not allowed to visit the tomb of the founder of the village on Wednesday and Wednesday night. That was Miscellany for today. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you the regional song from Tidung, North Kalimantan Province. Well, listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Babalin by Vika Julia. Happy listening. The song Babalin is one of the songs from the North Kalimantan region. The song Babalin was once popularized by singer from Malaysia, Siti Aisyah. The song begins with the word inindang, which means to sing. Like Malay songs in general, the song is also arranged like lyrics of repeated poems, and its content suggestions to follow the message or advice from the ancestors, such as maintaining friendship. Babalin is repopularized by Vika Julia, who has a strong vocal character. The song is one of the regional songs in the album entitled Tidung, supported by Tanah Tidung Regional Arts Council, North Kalimantan Province. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next Tidung regional song entitled Gurindam the Bibil Umo. Happy listening.
Gurindam, gurindam, gurindam,
Listeners, the song Gurindam de Bibil Umo by Vika Julia was launched on the 6th anniversary of Tanah Tidung Regency, North Kalimantan Province in 2013. The song is also included in the Tidung album. This song was sung very nicely by Vika Julia. Listeners, Tidung tribe in North Kalimantan Province is a tribe of Sabah state children, Malay descent found in Indonesia and Malaysia. Not surprisingly, the culture including songs and music of Tidung area is quite thick with the influence of Malay. Tidung tribes is Muslims with Malay law and customs such as Banjar, Kutai and Suku Pasir. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Dinding Pagun and Berlayar Kunund by Vika Julia. Happy listening and thank you for listening.
Jika
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.